KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
We have partly cloudy skies and 60 degrees, your temperature here at the KJN studios. We look for increasing clouds today with a moderate chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 73 here today. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest news here on KJN. News is being brought to you here this hour by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. A jury has convicted a 32-year-old man in a hit-and-run crash that killed a Des Moines bicyclist. The Polk County jury on Friday found Jonathan Leyva Rodriguez guilty on all six charges stemming from the August 16th crash, including vehicular homicide, drunken driving, and leaving the scene of an accident resulting in death. Leyva Rodriguez was accused of hitting 41-year-old Gregory Wade Frank while the cyclist was participating in a local biking event. Frank was critically injured and died at a local hospital. A state criminalist testified on Thursday that Leyva Rodriguez's blood alcohol level was more than twice the legal limit to drive at the time of the crash. Leyva Rodriguez faces up to 25 years in prison for the vehicular homicide charge alone. KJAN News Time is 8:03.
Whether you're a patient we're seeing regularly for chemo treatments, attending one of our diabetes clinics, or a couple about to have your first baby, at Cass County Memorial Hospital, we think about your health 365 days a year.
Hello, this is Emily Kringle, registered dietitian at Cass County Health System. Good nutrition is essential in meeting your overall health goals. Healthy eating can include any food in moderation and should include a variety of foods from all the food groups. As your clinical dietitian, I can help you use good nutrition to achieve your personal health goals. For an appointment, please call me at 712-243-3250.
Whether we're setting a broken bone in our emergency department or providing rehab services after a long illness, we're here to help you feel better. Cass County Memorial Hospital, neighbors caring for neighbors.
In other news, Governor Terry Branstad has appointed a physician and business executive to the Iowa Board of Regents, replacing a board member who abruptly resigned last week. Branstad announced Friday that he will appoint 68-year-old Mike Richards of West Des Moines to the board that oversees Iowa's public universities. Richards is the vice chairman and managing partner of Quattro Composites, a company that makes equipment for the aerospace and medical industry. He spent nearly 20 years as a private practice physician and was head of Wild Rose Entertainment, which owns casinos in Clinton, Emmitsburg, and Jefferson. He will replace former Regent Mary Andringa and will serve the remainder of her term, beginning Friday and running through April 2021. The appointment must be approved by the Iowa Senate when lawmakers reconvene. A judge has scheduled a hearing and to reconsider sentences given to two women who pled guilty to in connection to a staged bank robbery in Sioux City. The Sioux City Journal reports that the judge has scheduled hearings for Tuesday in which he will decide whether he will amend the sentences he gave to 19-year-old Heaven Zevenbergen and 19-year-old Angelica Perez. Zevenbergen and Perez both pled guilty to second-degree theft. They were each sentenced to 5 years in prison in February. Prosecutors said Perez entered a Security National Bank branch at a Hy-Vee supermarket last August in a disguise and warned Zevenbergen via a note that she was armed. According to prosecutors, Zevenbergen, then a teller at the bank, knew Perez and gave her $10,000. In an update to an earlier report, officials with the Adams County Sheriff's Office said on Friday that a person who allegedly posed as a sheriff's deputy on Thursday afternoon has been identified and a thorough investigation is underway. The man allegedly identified himself as a sheriff's deputy, informed the group he was looking for a fight in progress, and was taken to the jail. And after that, the group of individuals left the scene and the man who spoke with them drove off. He has since been identified once again, and the sheriff's office is cautioning parents, however, to please educate your children how to handle strangers approaching them. Proper training and preparation can help keep our children safe. The Lenox School Board for the Lenox Community School District spent about 45 minutes to an hour on Thursday evening discussing if they want to proceed with a possible sharing superintendent agreement with the Griswold School District, and Lenox High School Principal Mike Still had this to say.
Our board voted 5-0 to continue pursuing sharing with Griswold.
The Griswold School Board voted earlier this week to continue with discussions as well. Still says there's a number of things that need to take place before anything is set in stone.
From what I understand, the next step is for Mr. Hendricks to go to Griswold, have a meeting with the board staff, and then also a community forum. They will then, it's kind of in their hands to determine how this all moves forward from here.
If Hendricks ultimately becomes the superintendent for both districts, it'll be a bit of a commute for him, but it's better than the alternatives.
Ideally, the distance may be a little farther than you would want, but at the same time, you also look at, an hour drive is better than a two-hour drive.
Lenox Community School District serves the counties of Adams, Ringgold, and Taylor and Union in southern Iowa. Deputies in Cass County on Friday arrested a man from Kansas on an OWI charge. 32-year-old Curtis Lee Rikus of Winfield, Kansas, was arrested for OWI first offense. Rikus was taken to the Cass County Jail and later released on $1,000 bond. More than half of the state's corn crop has been planted, but some Iowa farmers are waiting to see if they'll be forced to do some replanting. Paul Kissel is Iowa State University Extension crop specialist for Northwest Iowa.
Large part of my area is really wet.
His area includes Clay, Dickinson, and Buena Vista counties, where several fields remained underwater after heavy rains last week. There's a chance recently planted corn will survive.
Probably a possibility that corn was planted roughly a week ago. It was cool enough that maybe it didn't germinate, and it'll withstand that flooded condition.
The bigger concern is with the corn planted 2 to 3 weeks ago.
If that's underwater very long, that'll suffocate and die. So there'll be some on both sides of that. There'll be some that'll miraculously survive, and there'll be some that probably should survive and won't. So farmers are going to be busy here at a very busy time of the year, maybe finishing their corn and starting their beans and then evaluating what they've already planted.
Monday's USDA crop report listed 57% of Iowa corn crop planted, 8 days ahead of the five-year average. 7% of Iowa soybean crop was in the ground, 5 days ahead of the five-year average. State tax collections were down dramatically in April by almost 19%. Jeff Robinson of the Legislative Series Agency says since April ended on a weekend, that decline is exaggerated a bit, but state tax receipts are still lagging below expectations.
All three main tax revenue sources, individual income tax, corporate income tax, and sales tax, were negative for April.
Overall, state tax collections for the past 10 months are running 1.2% ahead of the same period a year ago. It's about $70 million less than the experts had predicted.
The main source of revenue weakness the past 3 months has been tax payments made when individual income tax returns are filed.
Iowans paid $148 million in state income tax in February, March, and April as they submitted their returns. That's the lowest amount of income taxes paid during that period since 2007. More than 40% of income tax returns will be paid and processed in May, however. Robinson says that means the state's tax revenue picture might improve this month. And a traffic stop on Wednesday afternoon in Shelby County resulted in the arrest of two people on drug and weapons charges. Sheriff Mark Hervey reports the deputies initiated a traffic stop at around 5 p.m. at the intersection of Highways 44 and 59. A 1996 Ford Escort occupied by a man and woman was searched, during which a handgun was discovered. Further investigation revealed a controlled substance in the vehicle believed to be methamphetamine. The occupants of the car, 37-year-old Benjamin Allman of Harlan and 20-year-old Hannah Krogh of Otho, were taken into custody. Allman faces felony charges that include felon in possession of a firearm, possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver, also a failure to affix a drug tax stamp. He also faces a simple misdemeanor charge of drug paraphernalia possession. Krogh faces felony charges of possession with the intent to distribute and failure to affix a drug tax stamp, along with an aggravated misdemeanor charge of carrying a concealed weapon and a simple misdemeanor possession of drug paraphernalia charge. Both were being held in the Shelby County Jail on $100,000 bond each. Shelby County Sheriff's deputies were assisted at the scene by the Harlan Police Department and their canine unit. Taking a look at world headlines here this hour, London is making history. Sadiq Khan has been elected as the first Muslim mayor of the 8.6 million British capital. Khan of the Labour Party easily surpassed Conservative rival Zach Goldsmith. Khan, the son of a bus driver, took 57% of the vote. He calls the win a triumph of hope over fear and vows he will be mayor of all Londoners. Canadian officials fear a massive wildfire could double in size by day's end as they continue to move out residents of fire-ravaged Fort McMurray from work camps in north of Alberta's oil sand city. So thousands of more displaced residents will get a sobering drive-by view of their burned-out city as convoys continue. More than 80,000 people have left Fort McMurray. U.S. diplomats are telling the Associated Press that the tone of the conversation with Israel is about to get tougher. An upcoming international report takes the Jewish state to task over settlements, demolitions, and property seizures on land the Palestinians claim for a future state. Palestinian leaders will also come in for criticism for failing to rein in anti-Israeli violence. Lottery lines could be a thing today in all the places where Powerball is played. The Powerball jackpot has climbed to $415 million, making it the largest since a record-setting prize of over $1 billion in January. Winning numbers for the game will be drawn tonight. If no one wins, there likely will be another big jump in the top prize. Powerball is played in 44 states plus Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. And presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is making no bones about what he thinks of his opponents, and he hasn't hesitated to include GOP detractors. But at rallies yesterday, the target was Democrat Hillary Clinton, who he'll likely face in November. Trump called her Crooked Hillary and stepped up to his attacks by referencing her husband's infidelities. That's a look at the latest in news. We'll check funeral announcements next. KJAN News Time is 8:14.
Whether you're a patient we're seeing regularly for chemo treatments, attending one of our diabetes clinics, or a couple about to have your first baby, at Cass County Memorial Hospital, we think about your health 365 days a year.
Hello, this is Emily Kringle, registered dietitian at Cass County Health System. Good nutrition is essential in meeting your overall health goals. Healthy eating can include any food in moderation and should include a variety of foods from all the food groups. As your clinical dietitian, I can help you use good nutrition to achieve your personal health goals. For an appointment, please call me at 712-243-3250.
Whether we're setting a broken bone in our emergency department or providing rehab services after a long illness, we're here to help you feel better. Cass County Memorial Hospital, neighbors caring for neighbors.
Now taking a look at your funeral announcements. Marge Porter, age 93, of Greenfield, died March 30th at the Greenfield Rehabilitation and Healthcare Center. Celebration of Life services for Marge Porter will be held today at 11 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Josephine Thelma Leslie, age 95, of Avoca, died Thursday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Mass of Christian burial for Josephine Leslie will be held Monday at 10 a.m. at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Avoca. Polly Jones Funeral Home Avoca has arrangements. Helen Vodler, age 91, of Greenfield, died Wednesday at a Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. A Mass of Christian burial for Helen Bodler will be held on Monday at 10:30 a.m. at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Estelle Blazik, age 81, of Orient, died Thursday at the Greater Regional Hospice Home in Creston. Funeral services for Estelle Blazik will be held on Monday at 2:30 p.m. at the Orient United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Marlon Mike Lilly, age 82, of Des Moines and formerly of Greenfield, died Wednesday at Mercy Hospice Home in Johnston. Funeral services for Marlon Mike Lilly will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. And Janet E. Gustin, age 65, of Atlantic, died Friday at the Community Care Center in Stewart. Services for Janet Gustin are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. That's a look at your latest news and funeral announcements here on KJN. Brought to you this hour by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Chris Parks, KJN News.